guys, welcome to The Things I Do For Love, a brief Game of Thrones card game podcast. Okay, listeners, welcome back to another episode of The Things I Do For Love. Still feeling things out a little bit with folks outside of the North American continent. Matt is joining me again this week to talk a little bit about the, I think, as he presented it, the benefits of being in a competitively hollow meta. So for any listeners that are totally confused about that, it references some discussion a very long time ago on Facebook with Seth, who was a guest in a couple episodes of the show earlier, made, I think, in jest at the UK meta, but we'll see. I feel like they've embraced that. Do you feel like you've embraced it, Matt?
Absolutely. You know, I think I think we have a lot of fun in the UK and in London. You know, we have a great time playing Thrones. You know, it's one of the things we love to do.
So what then, what is your stance on it? You mentioned this, I think, as a benefit to me. So what is the benefit, or how have you guys embraced it to turn it into a benefit? What do you do to make this fun?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I would say, you know, in the UK and in London, we're quite a sociable bunch. It could be different in America, you know. I don't really know, to be honest. But, you know, we meet up regularly, twice a week during the week, and we meet up at tournaments in stores at the weekend as well. So we've got like I'd say people you play against, they're your friends. And I think it's important for new players, or maybe players who just have their toe in Thrones. Maybe they play a lot of games, you know, they don't have the time to, you know, understand the best decks. So they turn up to GNKs or store championships, and, you know, it's not fun for them if they're getting crushed. You know, if we're building slightly janky decks that a lot of us love to play, we're playing decks with a lot of one-offs, you know, because we want that one single answer in our deck. Our 60-card deck must have that one answer in there, you know, just feel better about it.
You're playing 60-card decks? I thought it was the accepted wisdom across the pond that you had to have a banter card in there. Am I wrong?
Well, me personally, I kind of pride myself on you know, cutting down to 60. You know, I feel like that's a deck well constructed, if I can make it to 60.
Good man.
It's not that I believe, you know, that it's actually better, because I think with the tutors you have, you know, 61 deck, a deck with potentially more answers could be better than a 60 card deck. I think you could construct a game, and you could prove that without a shadow of doubt. In fact, you know, I also play Star Trek CCG, which is in fact a dead game, but the minimum deck size is 35.
Oh, wow.
And most decks are really between 50 and 60. You know, a 75-card deck isn't unusual. And, you know, a lot of that is down to the tutors, or the downloading, as they call it in Trek. You know, you're able to get your ship out, and it's really about having options. And they also have a free card limit. So, you know, some of those options enable you to see through your deck a lot quicker, and there's certain must-have cards as well. So I think certainly, I mean, 60 is quite high, but you could easily come up with a theoretical situation where 61 is better than 60, no doubt.
I think that is actually very interesting and pertinent for some discussion we've had on what will wind up being, by the time this airs, a past episode of The White Book, and Tudors and Draw in Thrones. So it is interesting to hear from someone, especially even someone coming from a game with deck sizes that small, that they feel there are adequate resources in Thrones to kind of push that envelope. So, let's see. I think that'll wind up being episode 309, if I remember right. If any of you listeners want to kind of cross-reference.
Yeah, the thing I would say is in Trek, 35 card decks do exist, but they would be the equivalent of rush decks. You know, they get all their people out and they try and complete their missions as fast as possible and get to those 100 points as fast as possible. And they don't care about the opponent. They don't care about anything. And if your opponent has a way of stalling you, you lose because you don't have these common answers in your deck.
Gotcha. Okay, that makes sense. So in kind of your viewpoint then, the competitively hollow term kind of applies more to how you view your local playgroups as buddies more than opponents, maybe would be a way to phrase it.
Yeah, I mean, every tournament we go to, the same people are there pretty much. I would say it's about the preparation as well, and I can't speak for anybody else. But certainly my preparation, you know, I've listened to podcasts and, you know, the amount of preparation people put in, it just sounds crazy. You know, they talk about deck testing, you know, running through the gauntlet. I mean, that sounds really time consuming. You know, I just want to do a bit of theory crafting, maybe spend half an hour touching up a few decks, a few ideas, then bring it to next evening and just try it out. And it, you know, and if you've kind of solved the meta before you go to a tournament, I mean, where's the fun in the puzzle during games? You know, you're trying to work out things and what cards they have, but I guess it's less interesting if you know what plots they're running and you know what cards they have because you've been studying the deck lists. I mean, that's just my viewpoint.
Yeah, I think maybe it stands to a different mindset for different groups. I personally feel like I'm much more in this type of group that sees it as a kind of a twofold social experience and a puzzle to be experienced and tinkered with and revised and that sort of thing. And that's where I get my enjoyment, hence my love of Shaga kind of combo decks and things. But I am aware other groups have a very different mindset in that their enjoyment just comes off of the victory itself. And I think that leads to some very different experiences getting to those endpoints.
Yeah, I mean, that is interesting. I mean, I love winning, you know, but...
well, who doesn't, right?
You know, if I go on a Thursday night and play a few games with my friends and I've lost every game, to be honest, I'm a bit miserable inside. I'm going home, shaking my head. You know, I love winning like everybody else. I think because I'm a Targaryen loyalist and, you know, I could kind of just build on my knowledge organically, you know, I kind of do okay. You know, I'm your quintessential 4-2 player. You know, if I enter a regional or a store championship, I'll either make the cut or not make the cut on strength of schedule. At least it seems that way this year. So I feel like, you know, any extra effort I put in, you know, the benefits would be quite marginal for me. And, you know, I primarily play Thrones for social reasons, to be honest, at least now. You know, I've just kind of, you know, having your buddies play Thrones with you, you just, I guess you care less about winning. But maybe when I go abroad, And for example, you know, the European Championships, Starlik and the FFG one, you know, have put a bit more effort beforehand, you know, trying to get a bit more up to speed with the meta, the common decks, and certainly going on the Iron Throne and playing like 20 games with the same deck just to, you know, ensure that it is pretty good.
Okay, well, so it does sound like some preparation is worthwhile. Perhaps you're not completely competitively hollow over there. Maybe you're competitively, I don't know, marshmallow or cream filled, perhaps.
Competitively ambivalent, maybe.
There you go. That's a potential option. Well, I think I would be very curious to hear a little bit more about different groups around the world and what their specific kind of stance on it is. It's become such of a meme, really, in the Thrones community at this point. But I'd be curious more about various countries and cultures and whether there is any breakdown that swings one way or another in various cultures, or if it is really just a very individual aspect there. So, listeners, let us know more. Matt, I would be very happy to have you back on the show again sometime.
Thanks a lot, Will. Thanks for having me.
Quite welcome. We'll be right back.